Tonight Peter read to us from Matthew chapter 7, and we've come to another marker in the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5, the Lord dealt with the way that people had manipulated the Old Testament scriptures and had added tradition, and he had constantly said, "You have heard, but I say to you," comparing the traditions that had grown up with the truth of God's word. In chapter 6, he had looked at various approaches to life, both in worship and in general living. And he had shown that people can be hypocritical and they can have a form of religion, but not have a heart that is true with God. When we come to the beginning of chapter 7, the Lord is drawing all of this to a conclusion, and he is driving home his teaching with various aspects of application. Verse 1 of the chapter is one of perhaps the most frequently misquoted verses of Scripture that there is. "Judge not, that you be not judged." I've often heard it said that a text without a context is a pretext. In other words, if you take a verse of Scripture out of its context, you can get it to say anything. And people quote verse 1 as a means of saying, look, we've got no right to look at other people, other Christians, even non-Christians, and pass any comment on them, or any comment on their situation, any comment on their life and their practices. But that is taking the verse out of context, because the Lord is saying this in the context of what follows, in the context of what he has already said. Let me remind you, in chapter 5 and verse 1, when he began the sermon, we're told, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. When he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and he taught them, saying..." Christ is primarily teaching his disciples, and in effect is expounding the main thrust of his ministry. I said to you right back at the beginning that the Sermon on the Mount is in effect an explanation of what Jesus began to preach in chapter 4 and verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The basic message of Jesus, the basic message of John the Baptist, the basic message of Peter on the day of Pentecost was repent. If we are going to repent, then we have to exercise judgment and we have to make assessments. Repentance demands a change of thinking, from thinking in this way to thinking in this way, from living and moving in this direction to living and moving in a completely different direction. There has to be assessment. There has to be a review. And we live in a day, don't we, of risk assessments, of annual and five-year reviews. And those reviews can be positive, they can be negative. We don't go into a review saying, for example, with money, this is often the case, the salary will be reviewed at this point, the level of support will be reviewed at that point. That is a statement that does not guarantee whether there is going to be an increase or a decrease. It is simply an assessment. And that is what the Lord is talking about here. He is saying that there has to be assessment. There has to be a decision. There has to be a review of what is going on. And over the years, as I have taught men for the ministry, as I have taught in various contexts, I have emphasized the importance of reading. And then I've emphasized the importance of reading. And then I've emphasized the importance of rereading. Rereading carefully the passages of Scripture that we have before us. All of us can be guilty of familiarity, reading, contempt. So let's stand back from this passage of Scripture that Pete has read to us this evening. What do we see? Well, immediately we see a command in verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Then in verses 3 to 5, we see an illustration for application. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. And then there is the second command in verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs. That is how familiarity breeds or deals with this passage. But let's go back and let's read it accurately. What does verse 1 actually say? Well, it is a command, but it is a command with qualifications. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Do you see the context? The Lord is saying, don't condemn people, because if you are going to go out of your way to use a measure that will condemn other people, it will be so easy for you to be condemning yourself, yourselves or yourself. Then there is this illustration. And the Lord actually begins not by making a statement, but by asking a question. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye? Verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. Going back to chapter 6, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. There is an illustration, there is an application, but it's much fuller than the way that we so often abbreviate it. Then we come to the second command in verse 6. Do not be, and it's not simply a command, it's a command with explanations. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. As I said, we must put this in context. Christ set the bar in the Beatitudes, didn't he? He looked at our attitude. He looked at our hearts. He looked at what is driving us. And essentially, the emphasis of the Beatitudes is, I have nothing. Anything that I have has been given to me by God. In chapter 6, we have seen that the self-centered understanding of life, we've seen how it causes hypocrisy and anxiety. If life is all about me and what I have done, then we draw attention to ourselves rather than giving glory to God. If it's all about me, then we worry about what I need instead of enjoying all that God has provided for us. So this is the context in which we come to this difficult passage. So, how are we going to draw out the teaching from this passage? Well, the first thing that I want us to say is that verse 1 needs to be summarized as, don't condemn. Or, put it another way, any judgment has to be measured judgment. Because any judgment that we exercise on anyone else we have got to be prepared to have that same judgment exercised on ourselves. Undoubtedly, when Christ was making this statement, he had the Pharisees in mind. You've seen the example of these men. They have set the standards, and they condemn anybody who doesn't reach their standards. The Pharisees essentially were religious men, wanted to do what was right, but sadly, as a result, they were masters of condemnation because they had developed their own standards instead of living in the light of God's standards and in the light of God's grace. Christ reset that standard by showing that all comment has to be in the light of Scripture. He, in the Beatitudes, in chapter 5 and verse 7, says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Excuse me. And also remember what the Lord taught in the Lord's Prayer. "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Friends, if we consider the temptations that we suffer and that we face, surely it will make us far more humble and far more gracious towards those around us who face the same temptations and who sadly fall into those temptations. In life, there are commands that are non-negotiable. The first great commandment is to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That summarizes the first four of the Ten Commandments. God is to be first in our lives. There is no negotiation in that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Respecting family life, respecting human life, respecting married life, respecting the property of other people, respecting your own word and the word that you display to other people. And the Lord is saying here, these are the standards that God requires of us, and they are non-negotiable. But there are things in life that are negotiable. The non-negotiables come directly from the Word of God. But we must never put our personal preferences, we must never put our cultural priorities alongside God's Word and say, this is how it should be done. We had an interesting experience last week, which I think will demonstrate this. Last Saturday, we were at a wedding in Cardiff. The previous Saturday, we were at a wedding in London. Most of us know which wedding that was in London. But as we sat in the church, the contrast in the colour and the presentation of the guests last weekend was so different from what we had seen in London. We had seen this vast array of cross-cultural ways of dressing and of presenting ourselves in that context. Now, it would have been so easy last weekend to say, well, look, if you are going to have a good wedding, you have all got to dress like this. Well, that's nonsense. The previous weekend had been essentially a wedding in an Asian context. Last weekend, it was a wedding in a Western context. And we are not to put cultural traditions alongside the Word of God. We are not to condemn people for eating and dressing differently from ourselves. But the Lord is saying there are times when we have to make judgments. And those judgments are to be made when the Word of God is compromised. Let me give you a few examples from the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and he says this: "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among the pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. Judge not, that you be not judged." That's how many people would say this. But no. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is saying the Word of God with reference to marriage and with reference to family life is being compromised and is being disobeyed. Therefore, you have to make an assessment and you have to say the life and the activity of that person who claims to be a Christian is against the Word of God, and therefore judgment has to take place. An assessment has to happen. And because he chooses to live like that, he is not free to be recognized as a member of the church. He is not free to join with the church in the Lord's Supper. Do you see? Judgment was necessary. It wasn't just a blanket, "Oh, love covers all things." Galatians chapter 1. "But even if he or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." Not exactly gentle language, is it? "Let him be condemned under the judgment of God." Oh, don't judge him. He's trying his hardest. He is trying to be a good preacher. We are to allow no one to preach in the name of our church, in the name of, if you like, our group of churches, unless he preaches the gospel of sovereign grace. Problem with the church here at Galatia was they were saying, yes, you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you believe on him, you make sure that you're circumcised, you make sure that you keep the Old Testament law. No, friends, if we preach that, we are not preaching the gospel of the New Testament. We are not preaching the gospel that God prepared in eternity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That is the New Testament gospel. And if anybody wants to add to that, they are in fact adding to the Scriptures, and they need to be judged by the Scriptures. And towards the end of the New Testament period, when Paul was writing his letters, he says this, 1 John 4 and verse 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." That was towards the end of the New Testament. A generation, perhaps, after the Lord Jesus Christ. A very short period of time. As Pete was praying tonight, he mentioned the fact that we were once known as a Christian country. We are known as the nation of revivals. And yet Pete said a whole generation has grown up that doesn't know God. The facts are, friends, 1904 saw revival in our country. But by the time I had been born, 50 years later, the truths of the gospel preached at that time had been so watered down that there were many false spirits had gone out. We cannot tolerate those who preach any other gospel. So when the Lord says, judge not that you be not judged, he is saying, there is a place for judgment, but it always has to be in the light of Scripture. He then turns it round on his hearers, and he says, assess yourselves. May it be an accurate assessment. So the second main point that I want to bring out of this tonight is the importance of self-assessment. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye? Verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? The Lord is emphasizing that we can have a critical eye. We can have an accusing tongue. There are two questions. Why? What is your motive as you question other people? What is it that you want to achieve? What is it that is driving you? And the question in verse 4, how? What authority do you have? What right do you have? Remember our Lord Jesus Christ when he was approached by somebody who wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to sort out the family affairs. He said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? The judge of all the earth, as we were talking about this morning, could say that in that context. Oh, how we need to examine our motives. We so easily set ourselves up above others. But notice what the Lord does here in verse 5. You hypocrite. Christ uses the very term that he has been using for those who have a front of religion. And he's turning this on his own disciples. He's turning this on those who would follow him, because he doesn't want them to be people who develop self-centered religion. What Christ is saying is the Christian with a critical eye, the Christian with the wrong motives, is no better than the hypocrite who makes a public show of his religion. A good risk assessment will always make recommendations, won't it? The Lord Jesus Christ has said, you've failed in this area. You've missed that point. But he says, get things sorted. Schools are described, aren't they, as schools with special measures, having to get certain things sorted out. And the Lord says in verse 5, first, take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What's the Lord doing? He's going back to chapter 5. A man coming to make his offering at the altar. And he realizes, blow, I'm not at one with that person. That person is upset with me. I have got to get this sorted out. And that's what the Lord is saying here. You want to look critically at somebody else? You want to make your comments about somebody else? Well, first, make comments about yourself. Make an accurate assessment of yourself so that you live in a way that honors God. Perhaps more of us need to read Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Judge not, that you be not judged. If it is necessary for you to make an assessment of other people, first make an assessment of yourself. The Lord doesn't say it's wrong to point out to other people where they've gone wrong. But He does say it's wrong to point out to people where they've gone wrong if they have got a speck of sawdust in their eye, whereas in fact you have got a log in your own eye. Let's each of us assess ourselves before God. And then the last point that He makes here, in a way, it doesn't contradict verses 1 and 2, but complements verses 1 and 2. Don't judge, because with the judgment that you use, it will be used to you. And the Lord actually says here, there are people in this world who might be described as dogs or as pigs. Remember, He is using metaphorical language. He is not calling these people pigs or dogs. But He's giving a warning. Because He says, if you go through life blindly and you don't actually make accurate assessments, you could in fact end up dishonoring the Word of God and actually damaging yourself. So my third heading tonight is, don't be consumed. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Now, we've got to be careful when we use allegories and metaphors, but we have grounds to argue that Christ has specific people in mind here. The pictures that He uses here of dogs and of pigs were specific pictures that people would have been familiar with. There would have been wild dogs that roamed the streets. There was a time in Papua New Guinea, and dogs would sleep under our vehicle overnight. And we would go out, and we would see the children off to school, and one or the other of us would drive the bus. And the one who would stood there and then walk back into the house would spend the first couple of minutes brushing the fleas off, because the dogs were so flea-ridden that just standing there we would have our legs covered. And this is the sort of picture that Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about a sweet little lapdog, but one who is an offense. And remember that Jesus was talking in an Old Testament context. The New Testament has not yet been ushered in. He has not made all food clean, and therefore pigs were an unclean animal. Both of these animals are vicious, and even a domestic sow,
circumstances arise when we have every right to turn away from speaking with people or witnessing. precious jewels of God's throwing them to them. We know the value of pearls, but if you throw them down the dog streets or the pit streets, what will it do? It will break the sheep, they will become angry, and they will turn away. That's what Christ is saying here. There are times, and you have to make an assessment. And if people are just abusing the truth of God's word, you are to give up and you are to turn aside. We don't do that quickly. We don't do that lightly. Remember that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. But friends, there are times maybe our life is endangered, or we are guilty of wasting time because people will not hear the word. We have to turn aside from them. So, drawing this message to a conclusion this evening, as Christians, we are to do all that we can to avoid a critical spirit. But where we have to be discerning, we must make sure that the measure used is the Word of God. Not tradition. Not the way we've always done it. Not personal choice. We are allowed personal choice, but we are not allowed to use personal choice in our assessment of others. We have to be incisive, cutting with ourselves, and wise, so that we do not become involved in unnecessary battles. Judge not, that you be not judged, but do not throw your pearls before pigs. May God give us the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.